I was wondering what aged rock star it was.
Somebody find me Amanda Hug and Kiss. All right. Hello. It's 51 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of October, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. My friends, this is the Rick Emerson Radio Experience. Appreciate you coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970, so we can get this out of the way. Annie Leibovitz looks like a man. Just so you know, in case you're playing the Rick Emerson home game.
Where is it? Is that the cover of
That's the cover of some magazine, right?
This is the full preview of Huntley Show. Oh, no, this is
the Annie.
A new angle. Oh.
You're like 100 feet away from the microphone.
Okay. It's page 3D of the people section of USA Today, the purple section.
All right, and she's on the cover of, like Time or Newsweek or something. I was at the Safeway, and I saw it, and I thought exactly the same thing that Sarah did. It was a guy. Looks like one of the Winter Brothers almost. All right, it's 503-733-297. Ah, she's Annie Leibovitz and I'm not. What are you going to do? 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You'll forgive me. I'm still making notes to myself about all the things we're going to attempt to accomplish and then fail to accomplish during today. Why do I even write these things down anymore? Hold on. All right.
Okay. All right. I think we're ready.
Anybody else got anything to add? Anything to amend? Laura Caviezel from CNN want to add anything? Should we call her right now and get her permission to talk about all
the stuff? You know what she actually told me about Bob Costantini? She's like, well, I guess I'll go ahead and give you guys Bob Costantini.
I guess.
I'll go ahead and give him to you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's mighty Christian of you.
I appreciate it.
He's the parting gift.
He's
going to earn the big prize.
He's the Rice-A-Roni.
He's the Cremets.
What the hell is... I don't even know where Rice-A-Roni is. Can I just tell you that? That's a thing I've never...
Oh, or Custom Buck. It's in the rice aisle.
I know well. I mean...
It comes in, like, cheesy flavors.
But what is it? I mean, is it just like a pasta dinner?
It's a rice that you cook in some margarine or shortening to brown it, and then you put some other flavoring into it.
Is Rice-A-Roni, is it sort of like a hamburger helper thing, but without meat?
Yeah.
That's another thing I've never had, is hamburger helper.
That's very Midwestern.
There's a whole list of things out there that everybody, you know, the products that you see all the time that I've never actually had.
But Hamburger Helper is more of a red state gourmet product.
I think it is. All I know is that my brother Dave, when he was living with us, it's like that horror, it's like that joke in National Lampoon's Vacation that I don't know why they call it Hamburger Helper. It's just fine by itself. And it's like if there was no actual meat in our house, like my brother would just. You know, he was one of those guys, just anything you'd find in the back of the refrigerator lurking inside some Tupperware. All right, let me set this email. I got the weirdest email from Kristen in accounting. It's not weird. It's not that she's weird. She just emailed about the strangest thing that happened to her on MySpace. So we'll get to it. Let me set this aside so I don't forget about it either. All right, it's 503-733-2970 or rick@rickemerson.com if you would like to email with your comments, your conventions, your clarifications, your what have you. All right, before I get anything, if I got everything else, if I got everything set aside. All right, fantastic. We're going to take about 10 seconds where nothing happens here while I finish this cup of coffee. Then we'll be joined by stenographer mailman Chris, who will help us clarify all that we're going to attempt to get to in the Rick Emerson Show. No one go anywhere.
All right, here we go.
All right. And by the way, the phrase of the day that pays in May is chocolate thunder. That's the phrase of the day in the Rick Emerson Show for reasons that will never be explained nor explicated by anyone to anyone. Just so you know, no matter how much you ask, no matter how much you beg.
Sounds like the name of a trendy store in Hawthorne.
It really does. It's some new boutique they're opening on 23rd. 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Let me bring up my sound here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, helping us track all items guaranteed today.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
There we go. Our good friend mailman Chris. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am well. Good morning.
Are you back to 100%? What'd you say today?
I'd say about 90.
Fantastic.
Still,
you sound
got
good.
A little bit in the head.
I gotta tell you, man, you gotta be careful now. Does your wife have this same illness, this death flu that's been going around?
No.
All right, because you got to be careful, because we have our good friend Kristen Bowie who works here. Now, she was all fine. She was all better because she had this. And it was like 5, 6, 7, 8 days. She couldn't even talk. She got better. And then, of course, then the boyfriend gets it. And then now she's got it again. And so this is going to be some big endless cycle. Carol, who works at the front desk here, she's had this
cycling on and off.
Oh, man. It's like for 4 weeks. And it's just whatever. And being sick is the very worst feeling because it's just like your body is revolting against you.
You just don't feel well.
When there's some external thing that's bothering you, there's some guy, somebody, some place, something. You got you got car problems. You got a bill problem. You got a job. Where your boss, is an ass or whatever. All of those things are pains, but at least it's external. You can get away from it. The very worst thing about being sick is it's just a feeling that you are imploding from within. Your whole life is collapsing from inside your very being. You can do nothing about it. So it's just the worst feeling ever. All right.
Well, the good news is if she gets it, I'll be gone for the next week. So
fantastic. Where are you going to be? This is right. You're gone as of tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow morning, I fly out to Montana.
What's in? Why?
It's a regional training for my for the union.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, well, I'm a union steward, and someone needs to help, and I go in. So.
Montana. Well, I guess that balances out the whole you can never be fired thing. So
every year it changes. One of the states in the region last year was here in Oregon. This year it's in Montana.
Next year it'll be Delaware.
No, it's all in the western region. So a couple years from now I'll be in Anchorage, Alaska.
Have fun.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Here's what we got there. We're going to get to at least some of the following things. We'll talk to the TV critic from the Oregonian, our good friend Peter Carlin, will be joining us today. Also, from OregonLive.com, we're going to welcome our good friend Chris Sneeven, who will be in the studio today. We have, man, I got a big pile of ill-founded gossip and completely unsourced speculation here. I got the Angelina Jolie, I got Britney Spears, and I got the fill in this blank, sir. Blank's binge drinking shame comes to light. It's a person.
Lindsay Lohan.
No, I think hers has already come to light.
Can I buzz in?
Yes.
I said Tara Reid?
No, comes to light. Not as in has come to light over the past many years. No, we'll find out. See, there you go. That's the right definition of a guarantee. We'll get to that. Tim Riley, what watchers have we today?
Geek, corpse, pick, and possibly more.
All right, there you go. So we will, at the very least, a geek watch, corpse watch, and a hick watch coming up today. And I think that's probably it. I don't want to go out on a limit. Oh, and we'll talk about this weird thing that happened to Kristen from accounting. So there you go. I think that's it. That's a good 7-8 things right there.
All right. So we got Kristen from accounting story.
Yes.
I guess Peter Carlin will be in.
You sound all down about it.
He's doing an impression.
I just doing Peter Carlin.
Then. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that what that was? It? Peter Carlin. I'll be joining you today. Yeah.
Chris Sneeven. Gossip, geek watch, corpse watch, and a hick watch.
Absolutely, sir. That is. And how many push-ups are we at as of right now?
After the glorious 10 push-ups you did on Friday, you are now at.
Which about killed me, by the way. And I don't understand what that's all about. Because it's not. Look, I don't really know that I'm some paragon of health and virtue. But by the same token, it's not like I don't ever have a bicycle to work. I would say the 7 days in the week, I would say I bicycle probably four days a week at the very least. And that's like 10 miles a day. And I've been doing that for, I don't know, over a year now. It does seem at a certain point like I'm going to be able to do a push-up without feeling like I'm going to have a thrombosis. I mean, it was a bad scene. I mean, by the time I talked to Scott Daly on Friday because we found out that he'd been in the military at one point. He got through boot camp. And, you know, that's one of those things where you're doing like 700 push-ups before breakfast. I really honestly don't know how people do that without dying, because I did 10 push-ups here on Friday. And by the time I got to 6, I was really thinking I wasn't going to make it. And then I finally stood up after 10, and I was the color of a thermometer. I mean, it was no good. So, in any event. So, how many do I owe?
58.
58. And so, at the end of today's program, I will owe a push-up for each item not gotten to. All right. Thank you, sir. We'll check with you at the end of today's program.
End of the day. Talk to you then.
All right. There you go. That's mailman Chris. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We have somebody who's updating us. Did we figure out that there's a Brad Pitt movie being shot here in Portland? Was that the thing?
I believe we discussed that at some point.
Were we able to confirm that that was in fact the case?
No.
All right. Let's talk to Timothy. Timothy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
I was last week, Rick. This is Timothy.
All right.
I'm finally recovering now.
Yeah, the methadone. The methadone.
Yeah,
man.
The methadone man. I was talking to you guys about Saturday. There's that shoot at Reed College.
Right.
For that police shoot. Anyways, I got a call back from the casting director. And on Tuesday of this weekend, Wednesday, in Beaverton at McCormick's, it's like a fish restaurant house. There's going to be another shoot with Brad Pitt, and I was invited to come to that one, too.
Excellent. All right, so this is... Do we know the name of this movie? Did you ever figure this out?
It's called In the Wild.
Winds of Wild?
In the Wild.
In the Wild. Oh, that's right. We did talk about this. This is the Jonathan Krakauer book.
Right.
The same guy that wrote Into Thin Air.
By Sean Penn.
All right, okay. Yeah, we did have this discussion. All right. They're all...
Oh, that's the Sean Penn movie.
That's the confusion. Because in my head, I was like, well, what about that Sean Penn movie? But the Brad Pitt movie is the Sean Penn movie. They are one and the same.
Exactly.
All right.
And I asked if I could wear my Jesus T-shirt, bigger than Jesus, but they said no.
No,
Jesus wasn't around in the 70s.
No, we pushed really hard to get Storm to wear that on Rockstar Supernova. That didn't happen either, sir.
Didn't happen.
All right, thank you, sir.
Guys, have a good day.
All right, there you go. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Extel. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
You got 11 hours of sleep.
Wow. Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I didn't...
Something wrong?
It must have been a boring night in the old town.
Were you drugged by someone?
No, I don't know. I didn't even stay out very late this weekend at all. I just went to bed at a little before 9 last night and woke up a little before 8 this morning.
Because there was that roller derby thing, and I meant to go to that, and then I didn't. Because the problem is, whenever my wife is out of town, I have so little life to begin with, and the tiny little remnants of a life I have, they just sort of fritter away into nothingness whenever she's not around, because then I lose all motivation to get off the couch and do anything. So there was some, was it the championships or the finals?
Yeah, it was the championship bouts. You should have gone. It was really cool.
Yeah, I suppose.
I spent my whole weekend, like, bike riding. I rode my bike like 4 or 5 hours a day, so I think I was just exhausted.
You know, have we had this discussion about Scotty? Because he was going on again this morning about the max and about how he's paying, he was bitching to me about how he's paying $165 a month or something for parking. And I was talking to Scotty, and I thought that he had to walk a long ways. I thought that was his whole thing about not taking the max, is that it was like miles and miles away. But it's not I know it's not the case, because Tim Riley, you take the max.
I do, yes.
And it's only, what is it, like 3 or 4 blocks away, something like that, from the coin bill. So Scotty was going on this morning about, and so I had to pay my parking bill again this morning of $165. And I, to be honest, I don't even know where... I'm not saying he sells drugs on the side. I just don't understand how he covers that. And so I finally asked him this morning, I said, well, where... Like, are you talking about a secret special max the rest of us don't know about? Because it doesn't seem like there'd be any reason for him to skip it. And he made some observation, alluding to, but not exactly coming out and saying, that he felt himself socially to be many steps above taking the max. Oh. He didn't really feel like he was a max. He was from a max taking a slice of life. He felt like that was... That was perhaps...
Let's see what Tim Riley has to say about that.
All you need is a newspaper, dark glasses, and some headphones that cancel out all the noise around you, and you'll be fine.
Well, and just learn to... Here's the thing about when you take any public transportation. You learn to master the art of staring at the floor. I think taking...
Do not establish eye contact with anyone.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I think that taking the max... I'm just speculating on this now. I believe that taking the max or any type of public transportation, he's typing on the screen, what about the smell? I believe you deal with that the same way that one deals with going to prison. You stare at the floor, or you learn to master what the Marines would call the thousand-yard stare, which is you just be blank, make eye contact with nobody, pretend that you don't... If any loud noises, any sort of explosion sound of any... You'll, at one point during the Max ride, there will be a guy who will just start gibbering to himself in some strange mix of English, and he'll begin speaking in tongues at some point during the ride. All you have to do is just... And always bring reading material, too, because then it gives you an excuse to not look at anybody.
And you don't have to buy a ticket if you speak a language other than English.
I don't think he can pull that off. I think he... Scotty really is just the whitest-looking man in the building, so I'm not really sure. He's noting you also have to get a tattoo of a woman on your back. Yeah.
Try
not to notice the two guys sitting in the back who have a small brown paper bag that they are passing back and forth to one another either.
There you go. And all the dogs.
Oh, God. All right, Tim.
These are not service animals.
Tim Riley, you're working on the following stories here in the AM 970 News Desk.
Well, it was the booze that made Congressman Mark Foley talk dirty to an underage boy in the chat room.
Oh, God.
So he claims.
Red.
Yeah, they're on my website
today. Oh, God. Have you read the transcripts of the Sarah?
Yep.
No.
They're on my website.
I called this, by the way. I don't even think we talked about it on the air.
And, of course, he's a Republican, and he was on this committee to strengthen penalties against child abusers.
He made the great comment. He said, we track library books in this country better than we do pedophiles, which turned out to be further than anybody could have possibly suspected. What's great is he's not only a Republican, but he's from Florida, and he looks exactly like the kind of guy that stands behind a schoolyard and offers lollipops to small children.
Strangers have the best candy.
He really does look exactly like that. I don't think we talked about it. It's amazing how quickly this whole story unfolded, by the way. Because
ABC got a hold of the transcripts.
Oh,
and that's what started it. This happened after we got off the air. That's why we couldn't spend
it. The amazing thing is, too, is I mean, this is coming out of the woodwork now. Just endless 15-year-old boys that had a whole lot of really oogie conversations with the guy on the instant messenger. Thursday... they had broken. I have here from Thursday. This is the headline: 16-year-old who worked as Capitol Hill page, and a page is like being, like Scotty's basically a page, isn't he? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
A page is a whole lot of get my coffee.
Yeah.
So
we don't abuse Scotty here. Or talk to him like that, Chapman.
Yeah, not yet. The man waiter. Yes, that's exactly what they are. Thank you. This is on Thursday afternoon. 16-year-old who worked as Capitol Hill page concerned about email exchange with congressmen. And then within 24 hours, it went from being concerned to being... He had packed up all his crap and was gone and was hiding out with his family who were busy hiding the razor blades from him. The best part about this is, here's exactly when I said that this was all going to go south. I have this exchange right here, and then we'll do some other stuff here. But I have this. The emails were sent from Foley's personal AOL accounts. And the exchange began within weeks after the page finished his program at Capitol Hill. In one exchange, Foley writes, quote, "What do you..." This is to a 16-year-old boy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
"What do you want for your birthday coming up? ... What stuff do you like to do?" Now, that is, I suppose, excusable. If you are an older man, perhaps...
It's eyebrow raising, to say the least.
Perhaps a little odd, but I mean, if you're an older man...
It's overly friendly.
If you are mentoring, let's say, a young person who is in your employ, one could understand the, what do you want for your birthday coming up? How do you spend your free time?
You'd like to go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Exactly. You like ponies? Here, though, is when I knew that all was not as it was claimed to be. In another email, Foley... See if you can spot, you internet kids. You kids who spend a lot of time in the MySpace. See if you can spot when this became indicative that there was something perverse. In another email, Foley writes, quote, "How are you weathering the hurricane down there? Are you safe? Send me an email pic of you as well." It's the word pic. That's when I knew. It's not. It's one thing if somebody says a pic, even asking for a picture is a little strange, but when somebody says send me a pic, that's internet lingo.
Are you sure it's not him calling the boy his favorite young stud?
Does he say that?
Oh, yeah.
What does it say?
"How's my favorite young stud doing?" "Tired and sore."
Oh. No, no, no.
That's
no,
more than being
no.
friendly.
Okay.
We'll let Tim read this.
all right. Is that the... Was that the first thing you teased or the last? We just got all...
That was the first thing.
What else have we?
Well, let's see. To the surprise of no one, Boy George is found slumped over the wheel of his automobile. but that's not even a big deal anymore.
Well,
really.
Welcome to 6 months ago.
And rats are honored guests in Seattle.
Okay, there you go.
Rats?
Rats. R-A-T-S, yes, rats.
Okay, not rat.
No. More than one rat.
It's not rats are honored band. Okay.
The rodents.
Trickster is our honored band. Let's see. This is Mary. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Mary, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling because Rick is going to be... I mean, not Rick. Sorry, you're Rick.
Yes.
Chris. Our radio is on. He's out at his bar, right?
What? I don't understand. Hello?
The mailman?
Yes, mailman Chris is going to be gone, yes.
Yeah, well, I called up Scotty on Friday, and I'm calling back now. My dad's a mailman. I'm a listener every day.
Okay.
And his name's Rick. My dad. So his name's Chris.
We know there has to be more than one mailman out there.
Okay. So you're offering to fill in.
I'm offering to fill in for Chris the mailman, yeah.
And your qualification is that you're
the mailman's daughter.
Your dad is a mailman, and so you feel like you would be keeping the tradition alive while Chris is gone.
Well, and my dad's name is Rick as well.
So there you go. So it all ties together. It is serendipitous. Do you listen to all 4 hours of the program every day?
I do the best I can, but I absolutely can for this week if you'd like me to.
The best I can.
Well, I drive around a lot.
All right. Are you a delivery driver?
No.
Are you hiding something? You sound as though you're being very secretive about this.
Well, no, not too much, but
Are you high?
I can be available for
right
you.
Now. All right. You sound as though you're a little stoned.
No, not at all.
All right, okay. So you are offering here to be available for all 4 hours to track the topics.
And everything, yeah.
The gotten to and not gotten to.
This would be Tuesday through Friday, right?
Yes. All right, Scotty, I'm gonna put Mary on hold. Get her contact info, and we'll see. Maybe we can have her do that as of tomorrow. All right, there you go. Yeah, no, you don't want to read those over there.
No, that was gross.
No.
Yeah, I'm just closed out of them. I don't even. That's just wrong.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of ick. All those. Especially because he's like 52.
Mm-hmm.
52.
Anything that, because he was drunk, that's why he was writing that stuff?
Yeah.
And a bachelor.
Yeah. I thought he was married.
No, he's not married.
Oh, is he a lifelong bachelor?
A lifelong bachelor, yes.
Okay.
That's why I can't figure which of his family members he's apologizing to.
Okay. Well, all right, there you go. Well, we got no time. We got a break here. I don't even have time to tell to talk about this Kristen thing. So here's the thing. At the bottom of the hour, we got Bob Costantini from The Hill, who's going to be talking about our good friend, Mr. Foley. Later on, we got Lisa Goddard. Apparently, there's been, I swear to God, I'm not making this up. There's been a shooting inside a one-room Amish schoolhouse.
Yeah, 6 dead in an Amish school shootout.
And it's such a shame that we didn't know about it.
It's such a shame. Would you like to explain that when we called?
No. I just dislike her so much. I'd just rather...
Okay, this is... I'll say it because you don't want to say it. We called CNN today to be booking our guests and so forth. And we're like, hey, can we get Bob Costantini? Can we get whoever? And we said, can we get Lisa Goddard at 11:30? And Laura's response was, you know, Lisa's not available. She's going to be, you know, on the road to Pennsylvania at that time. And we said somebody there, why? She goes, don't you have a TV? Don't you know? As though we're not in here preparing a radio program. I'm not going to bitch about it anymore. All right, Lisa Goddard later on. Clyde, Lewis, Peter Carlin, et cetera, so on and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We begin everything around the corner on AM 970 Solid State Radio. The Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Lisa Goddard talking about, I swear to God, an Amish school shooting. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. Chris Needham from OregonLive.com. What else? A clearly fabricated news story. Oh, we got this. I got to read this real quickly, and then we'll welcome Bob Costantini, who joins us by the grace of God. Rick, shout out to Chuck. Rick, I need a favor. I have a coworker named Chuck. Loves your show, calls in occasionally. He loves it so much he bought a portable radio to listen. With great pride, he points out it is an Emerson brand radio. Bad part is, I'm sorry. Right now, Chuck's in the hospital after his second heart attack. If you could give him some love on the radio, it would be great, unless you say it's the thing to do with fan Scott. Hey, Chuck. There you go. Try baking, not frying, first of all.
Oh, Chuck.
And, really, and I hate to... Can we just say, though, that Chuck sounds exactly like the kind of a guy who would have a second heart attack, though. Just sort of a beefy guy with, like, a lunch pail. Just sort of in an...
Does he say anything about Chuck's condition?
Bring
is he okay?
Some more pork!
Maybe we should save the joking until we know if Chuck's okay.
I'm sure Chuck is a... I get... It seems like Chuck must be okay, or they wouldn't... Really,
well,
logically...
how old is that email?
Logically... Oh, that's a terrible thing to
I'm
say.
I'm just saying, you know what, you're assuming that he's okay, but I know that sometimes your emails get stuck, you know, in the shuffle for a couple weeks.
And here's the thing is, when you say okay, I know you mean alive. I've cracked your code. This is from, well, it's from Friday. What could happen in 3 days? Second heart attack. John Mellencamp's had like four of those. So there you go, Chuck. Well, there you go. Hope you recover, Chuck. There you go. All
you're
right.
A bad person.
I'm just making the observation that perhaps... You know, perhaps occasionally one order of hot wings would be sufficient. It's 503... End up in a bed right next to Matt Peterson. It's 503-733-2970. Figure a hospital bed, not an actual bed. Wake up in a Craftmatic in a strange hotel right next to Matt Peterson. Yeah, let's go to the... yes, let's do... Thank you. There you go. Just got to get that image out of my head. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the Hill, Bob Costantini. Hello, sir. How are you, my friend?
Hi, good afternoon. Doing fine.
Bob, it's been a while since we've talked. Have you been keeping yourself busy, I suppose? Do you have hobbies?
Yes, I have hockey.
That's cool.
Excellent. Do you really?
No, I do enjoy hockey, but it's not quite hockey season.
All right. Well, let's talk about our good friend, Mark Foley,
yes.
Who I was going to say is an American politician, but I suppose now we can say was an American politician.
Yes.
First, let me just ask this first of all. A, is it true that the Republican Party knew about this like a year and a half ago, that he was sitting there emailing? And again, let me just state as a preamble here, I'm going to be very clear about this, that I, and I think I speak for everybody on this show and most of the people in our audience, I don't care what anybody does in their private life. Your personal life is your personal, doesn't matter to me. I'm not a prude. I don't pass moral judgment. Doesn't matter to me what anybody does. But I think really what galls everybody here is, A, that these are like 15 and 16-year-old boys, and B, wasn't this guy, I mean, wasn't his whole, not his whole platform, but wasn't a whole part of his appeal to his constituency the fact that he was striking out against pedophilia and internet predators and pornography?
Yes. And interestingly enough, of course, he may be, he may face charges under some of the very laws about internet predators that he helped make up here in Congress. He was part of the congressional caucus that deals with this issue, that deals with missing and exploited children.
Right.
And so as such, he did have some hand in the legislation that President Bush, part of which President Bush signed not too long ago.
I mean, really, I hate to be a cynic about this, but I think at this point, in 2006, that ought to be the, that really ought to be the dead giveaway. If somebody spends about 90% of their elected office time going on and on about the sex lives of others, I mean, here's the thing is, whatever it is that somebody relentlessly complains about, that's what they do at home and at night with the door locked. I mean, I think we all know that that's the case. Yeah, some guy bitches all day about internet gambling, that's a guy who goes home and blows his entire paycheck on online blackjack. Some guy complains about pornography, and he's at home with a towel and a deadbolt. Some guy's talking about the children online, that's a guy who, in this guy's case, is spending his evenings talking to a bunch of pages. And so, but did they know about this? Because we've heard that the GOP knew about it in like 2004, 2005.
Well, this is where things are going to get quite murky. And Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, had a news conference a short time ago saying that no Republican congressional leaders saw lurid Internet exchanges, these messages from Representative Mark Foley to any of the House pages. What that does indicate, and he did not take questions after the event, but what that would at least indicate is that he may have had some knowledge of these messages from about 10 months ago, which... set up a little bit of a red flag regarding Foley, and that's when the head of the Page board, Representative John Shimkus, who met with Speaker Hastert today, he apparently 10 months ago told Representative Foley not to have any more contact with one of the particular former pages who was a 16-year-old from Louisiana. At that point, those messages that were known then were supposedly overly friendly, and that's the best way to put them. And no action was taken, and Foley had said that he would not, or at least Foley told congressional told leaders in Congress that he would have no more contact with this boy, and that's what we're hearing. And they took him at his word that he would not, and it wasn't until Friday, more than likely, from what we understand, that this was suddenly brought up because ABC News was about to do an expose on Foley with some long-ago emails and instant messages to some former pages.
Well, that's the thing. The most disturbing facet of this, I mean, and that's saying something, is the idea that they've actually set up an anonymous 1-800 number.
Yeah.
So vast do they think this is. These kids, you know, all over, you know, who may have worked there in some capacity, who may have had all these weird, sleazy instant messages from this guy. Whatever one thinks of the GOP, they seem to be pretty good at winning elections, and they seem to have a pretty keen sense of self-preservation. It does seem a little surprising that even if he hadn't done anything actionable a year ago, that they would have just let this guy stay there, you know, and continue to be in this position, seeing as that they had to know this was going to come back and screw him at some point.
Well, it's the sort of thing where the House tends to handle its own matters, of course. And discipline is, you know, barring criminal charges. The House will handle disciplinary action in cases like this. And so the original emails from 10 months ago were not what you would describe sexually explicit. They were, you know, a little more about how you're doing and that kind of thing. And even though it was kind of considered improper for a member of Congress to be contacting a 16-year-old former page from another district, it's one of these issues that you know, what do you do with the member of Congress who does that? Do you ask him to resign when he's done nothing that would constitute anything illegal? It just may seem a little improper or borderline, but that's the way the Republicans are going to try to play this. Clearly, they just didn't know the extent to which Foley was involved in this.
Do you suppose, you have to ask this, do you suppose that when something like this happens, that Howard Dean and everybody at the DNC, that they just salivate and rub their hands back together? I mean, are they going to, do you suppose they're going to do everything they can to make Mark Foley George Bush's running mate, or, you know, not George Bush, but I mean, you know, the GOP's, you know, poster boy as we head into the fall?
I don't expect that they can make Foley George Bush's running mate or any particular candidate's running mate, but it's this little thing that comes down, you know, against the Republicans, turns the meter just slightly against the Republicans a little bit more. It's already been speculated for months now that the Democrats might take control of the House again. And this is one of those things that obviously isn't going to help. And it may, you know, have some minor effect in one or two districts where it's close or whatever. It may turn some people off to the Republican Party because of it, but it's hard to say, you know, how much you'll be able to tag Foley onto anyone else. They have, the Democratic National Committee has issued a press release headlined, "Where's the Outrage?" Meaning why didn't the Republican leadership know about this ahead of time or make this public ahead of time? And again, the Republicans are clearly going to say, well, we didn't realize the extent of this kind of problem. And if it's not a, you know, if it's not a criminal action from what they were originally told about 10 months ago, it's, you know, it's hard to tell someone he has to leave. Now, remember William Jefferson, the congressman from Louisiana, who is still, you know, a member of the House and some people called on him to resign, but was not pushed into resignation by the Democrats. Even though investigators allegedly found all that cash in his freezer.
So this Foley guy, it seems likely he's going to end up going to the Hooskow, though.
As I say, it's quite possible that he would be prosecuted under the laws that he helped write.
There you go. Well, that's the gods of both karma and irony are out in full force today, with a sense of humor, I would say.
Rick, here's one thing to keep in mind,
yeah,
to be fair, in a sense. There is no allegation as of yet that he had any physical contact with any of these male pages. That, of course, you know, all remains to be seen. If the investigation turns up incidents like that, then clearly there could be a criminal.
I suppose, well, but I don't. You don't have to. I mean, it seems like it doesn't have to be physical to be illegal.
Well,
or creepy.
In the case of some of the messages like this, no, you don't.
All right. Bob Costantini, my friend, it's been too long since we've talked to you. Join us anytime. We will talk to you in the future.
I appreciate it.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Costantini on the Hill in Washington, D.C. There you go. All right. Yeah, I have this is the press release. Tim found this. This has been removed, by the way, from his website, but it's May 18th, 2005. National Center for Missing and Exploited Children applauds Congressman Mark Foley. And Senator Orrin Hatch. Oh, you know that there's going to be lots of photos of Orrin Hatch standing next to this guy, linking arms, looking pompous, for introducing sweeping legislation that will overhaul our nation's current sex offender registration and community notification law, entitled the Jacob Wetterling Crimes Against Children and Sexually Violent Offender Act. This will increase and tighten the tracking of sex offenders and provide standards for notifying the public about these predators. So there you go. Fantastic. All right, we'll just put that right there. So no surprise, he's from Florida, by the way. Also, have you noticed, because he's in rehab right now, because he checked himself into alcohol rehab, and I figured this out. I figured out the deal with rehab. Is that because Mel Gibson did the same thing when he got busted and when he was screaming all that crap about Jews when he got pulled over. Here's the deal, is that... this came to me in a flash this morning as I was reading this thing about Mark Foley going into alcohol rehab. Rehab has just become a place that you go now when you don't want to talk to anybody. I never really thought about that because you always like you always make the connection in your head of, well, what, like, why would you go to alcohol rehab if your major crime seems to be asking small boys about lotion? And it does seem like rehab, maybe it's just because that's the only place the cameras can't go to because they stop all the press at the door. So that's, I mean, you know, rehab is, you know, it's like going to a fortress of solitude. Doesn't matter what your problem is. If you don't want some guy with a camera photographing you taking your trash out to the curb, you just check yourself into a rehab center somewhere. So there you go. A lot more on that as it unfolds. I want to read a couple of these real quickly. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got the AM 970 noon news hour. We'll have Lisa Goddard at 1:15. Clyde Lewis coming up later on. Peter Carlin, Chris Sneathan from OregonLive.com. And I've got the... We will finish... Let's see. We'll finish getting to all of the stuff that I teased earlier, including this. Blank and their booze drinking shame. I want to read this real...
Oh, there? Is it two?
No, it's there. I'll just read it right now. You know what? I'll do... Here's what we'll do right here. Because I've got this big pile of crap. I got this big pile of gossip crap, and I want to get to this before we get behind with anything else. I'll just go through these in no particular order, because I don't... We haven't created an entire segment about this yet, but it's stuff that if I don't read it now, I'm never going to get to it later. I'll just read these from the top down. Avril Lavigne, you've seen that photo, the thing of her spitting, right? It's her and what's-his-name? Derek, what's-his-guts from Sum 41? Who marries a guy from Sum 41? Is that like a Canadian thing? Are they huge in Canada? Anyway, Avril Lavigne has agreed that spitting at the paparazzi is not a good thing to do. She issued a statement apologizing after she and her husband, Derek Whibley, of Sum 41, clashed with paparazzi. And it was a full-on spit, too. It was like a kind of a spit. It wasn't just like a whatever happens to be in your mouth at the time spit. According to reports, Lavigne spat at photographers in two separate incidents last week. Lavigne apologized for her behavior with the paparazzi. Her apology posted on her website insisted she meant no offense to her fans, not the paparazzi, said she will always go out of her way for fans. She said her behavior...
Is that before or after she signed their any autographs that she was signing that day with FU?
Really?
Yeah. She was writing that to her fans. She's a bad
girl. I don't understand.
Girl.
What do you mean? I mean, if I'm standing there and I say, Avril, will you sign my...
Exactly. So she wasn't just doing this to the paparazzi. She was being a bitch to her fans. Like, every time anyone would ask for an autograph, she'd be like, F off, F you. Avril.
Love. That's fantastic. Why? Is she just crazy?
She's crazy.
All right. I mean, this is part of her new edgy persona. She also said her behavior was a reaction to the persistent attack from the paparazzi, and she said, quote, it's trying at best to deal with their... It's trying, quote, at best to deal with their insistent intrusions. Whatever. Don't become famous. Angelina Jolie fears that Brad Pitt is already cheating. Sexy Star. Have you seen that photograph of her in her phone, like skeleton in her car, like Skeletor clutching the cell phone? And it's like, it's so great. It's her. Why is it that celebrities always look the worst in the car? Always.
What isn't great, though, Rick, is that she's left from visiting her mother who's dying of cancer.
Okay. Is that why?
That's
is that why she looks so bad?
Yes. She was on the phone leaving her mother's
house. Why are you going to rain on my parade? I was going to be all happy
because
that she looked hideous.
You know that I love mocking celebrities, but there's a time and a place.
No, it's okay. Well, now I can't go forward with all my observations. I was just going to make this observation, which is that celebrities, I don't know what it is, man. Celebrities, when they're shot in their car, always look the worst. Any snapshot of a celebrity that's taken while they're driving, that's the one where they always look really bad. Like Tara Reid, Britney's. Remember that when there was that one of Britney Spears where she was crying and she had her... Her mouth was open like in a big sort of downward U shape, and it was a lot of, you know, just sort of a real bad. And that's what it is. There's a picture of Angelina Jolie, and it's not so much that she's crying, which she is. It's just that it's her with a cell phone up to her head, and if you could caption it, it would be, the caption is sort of like, help me, I look like a rake, because she's all, it's like you can see the collarbone, and it's all bad. Angelina Jolie has confided to pals that she worries her lover, Brad. Really, if you ever have a relationship with somebody, don't refer to them as your lover in public. It just sounds weird. It makes you sound like some guy from the 70s with a thatch of chest hair and a Coke spoon. Brad Pitt may be cheating on her, reports Australia's NW magazine. His failure to respond to her news that she was taking their children to Africa and his... Why? Oh, is that part of her help the world thing? I don't understand. His failure to respond to her news that she was taking their children to Africa. Is that like she left a note by the coffee pot at home? Have gone to Africa. Mm. Have gone to Serengeti with kids. Pizza in fridge. Love. And his growing emotional distance. Have Angelina Jolie suspicious that he's sleeping with another woman.
Well, let's see. If you start a relationship by sleeping with him while he's married, you get what you deserve.
And not only that, he's Brad Pitt. Of course he's sleeping with... This sort of thing just makes me angry. Not only, it's like that whole, when what's her name, it was all angry at Tommy Lee, Heather Lockley, because I can't believe that he was unfaithful to me. When, you know, you marry for the drummer from Motley Crue, you get what you get. And it just, if you're Brad Pitt, I mean, look, even Brad Pitt's going to be ugly someday. That's the thing. Brad Pitt, I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care what a young, svelte, golden boy you may be. Someday you're going to be old and unable to maintain an erection. You got to do it while you get it. As, you know, who are you to fence in Brad Pitt? Last week, if I was Brad, and I think Likas made some comment to this effect one time. You know, if I was Brad Pitt, I'd just be dead. You know what I mean? If you're Brad Pitt, you just cash in your money and just, you know, just rent a hotel room for the next 20 years. That's it. Last week, NW reported that Angelina Jolie wants to move to Africa with the kids. Jesus. I'm moving to Africa with the kids, she says. I guess that indicates it. A pal, oh, this is great. A pal claims Jolie screamed this to Brad after a bust up. So I guess that's the difference between us and celebrities. Your wife gets angry, she goes to her mother's. Angela, like this is any way to punish a guy who's pissed off at you. I'm moving to another continent. All right, you know, what are you going to do? In August, a source spilling to Britain's Grazia magazine said that Angelina wanted to spy on Brad. Angelina is suffering from, I hate this phrase, the baby blues. But she's been extra stressed since Brad left, asking friends to report back on his every move. And wait for it. See if you can spot why Brad Pitt might be done with her. Asking friends to report back on his every move and calling him up to 10 times a day. Because guys respond really well to neediness.
Yeah.
There's nothing...
And stalking.
Exactly. And craziness. There's nothing that's sexier than a whining, nagging girlfriend. Angelina, who is currently living in the couple's Malibu mansion, blah, 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 is reportedly making Brad Pitt feel smothered. Brad has said to her, stop suffocating me.
I think like a year ago, he was newly single, and now he has, what, like 17 children and a live-in wife?
Good times. All right, there you go. All right, there's story the first. Oh, we have Kristen here. We'll get Kristen here in a second. Let's see. I'll get this other one because I teased it. Pop babe Jessica Simpson has reportedly moved from binge eating to binge drinking.
Woo!
reports NW Magazine. The sexy star heard from... Why do I laugh at these things? The sexy star heard from her horrible album sales and having to pay her ex-husband millions of dollars and man troubles has turned to the bottle for comfort. Now her family's ready to step in and save her from falling any deeper. In other news, Jessica Simpson's father is furious with Jackass star Bam Margera for saying he romanced the singer. Romance, by the way, is code for stooped. The loudmouth Jackass made the claims during recent radio interviews with U.S. shock jock Howard Stern. Jessica's father, Joe, says to U.S. Weekly, Us Weekly, what is it? Is it U.S. or Us?
Us.
Us Weekly. As a father, I want to go beat the crap out of people who say things like this. It really hurts, says the creepy father figure.
Who doesn't deny it at all during the statement, by the way.
Who doesn't say no?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Bam says, we wound up at her parents' house drinking margaritas, and it went from there. I left at 8 in the morning. He says, Jessica looks good naked. I can't deny that. Have you read... God, I read the most horrible thing, and I don't think it was Jessica Simpson. Who is the chick that, what's his name, Steve-O, supposedly?
Nicole Richie.
God, did you
read?
Yeah,
I read that.
But did
yeah.
you read?
I did.
Okay, I got it somewhere, and I don't even know how to make it safe for the air.
There's no way you can.
Oh, no, see, you say that, though, now I have to try. I have this story. I have it right here. God, it's just the most horrific... Where did I put it?
Is it like about the back rub?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't so much a back rub as it was like a back...
No.
I mean, I guess yeah. that's... I guess he was rubbing it.
That's what he keeps saying. Yeah.
He was rubbing it Foley style. Let me find this. God. In the meantime, let's welcome our good friend Kristen from accounting, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson radio program. Kristen, how you doing, sister?
I'm peachy. How are you doing?
I'm rolling... Oh, here we go. Okay. I've got it right here. Steve-O blabs about his fling with Nicole Richie. If you want to keep a secret, this says, don't let Steve-O of the Jackass crew in on it. He revealed information recently about his rumored romance with Nicole. And by the way, this is really just the most elastic possible use of the term romance. That Ms. Richie, first of all...
She should just refer to him as lover.
I'm just... If you... It, really, I mean, if you're Steve-O, you can't do any better than Nicole Richie. I mean, you really... I mean, the time has come to branch out in your career. God, I don't even know how am I going to describe this? Steve-O admitted to participating in at least one sex act with Nicole Richie. He claims to have... How shall I...
Why are you reading this?
Because it's the most... Okay.
Just put it on your website. We can all go and look at it.
No, well, nobody can view my website because apparently it's... What it, the filtering software describes our website as alternately grotesque, disgusting, horrid, inappropriate, pornographic, obscene. So apparently...
Which is telling since I can look at it at work.
Well, you're a K2. When are they? I mean, like there's anybody left to monitor what you do over there. I'm just going to say this. He apparently is at Nicole Richie's house. She is asleep and, I believe, nude on her stomach. He's above her. And you're right. There really is no way
there
to describe
really
this. There really isn't any
It's not even that good of a story. It's just icky.
It's just... I mean, who does that? Who said, well, she's just laying there.
And then who tells other people about it?
She's just laying there. And I got 30 seconds. Wait, hold on. You know, Steve, no, we got to go to the store. They're going to quit selling it, too. Okay.
It's also the same guy who pees on the red carpet.
Really? Can you? Well, this is in the same general family.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the same genus. Never mind. No, that's not what it was, Scotty. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's not. It has nothing. No. It has nothing to do with enjoying a cup of Lipton. No. No, in no way. No, we're going to move on. All right. How can I help you today, Kristen?
Well, when I think of weird, creepy stalker guys,
yeah.
I think of you.
Thank you.
So I wanted to share this with you because I don't know what to make of this.
Is this the guy that you emailed me about?
Yes.
Yeah, you forwarded this MySpace thing?
Yes.
All right. Well, here's the thing. We're out of time. Do we have to break here?
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this. So real quickly, just a long story short, I'll read this, and then we'll probably have to talk about it after the news hour.
Yeah, because let me just tell you, I had a message in my inbox on Friday, and it was this guy sending me a message.
Can I read the message from him?
Sure,
okay,
yeah.
And I'll tell you what, just for the sake of decorum, I will change his name, and we'll just call him John.
Okay.
And so this is the message, and this was...
And I don't think you have to worry, because he only has one friend in his MySpace profile.
And it's Tom.
Tom.
Fantastic. That's the mark of a winner.
Yeah,
exactly. So we'll change the, this was a message that you had in your MySpace inbox on Friday.
Right.
Okay, this is the message that... Sarah, have I told you about this?
You gave me a little bit of background.
This is the message that Kristen had sitting inside her MySpace inbox. It said... Hi, my name is John. I was just browsing on this website and thought I'd send you a message. I like your profile and pictures and wanted to respond to you. I'm a single handsome male living in the Seattle area that enjoys movies, music, and a whole lot more. I also try to get out of the city once in a while for a drive to Oregon or Canada. Look at my profile and pictures, see what you think. I want to go to the Oregon coast this week for a day or two, like today, tomorrow, and would like for you to join me if we can talk between now and then and see if we click. I will leave it up to you to tell me more about yourself. We can exchange numbers and talk and see if we have anything in common. And I can also send some pictures. And then he includes, this is how you know he's desperate. No offense, Kristen. You can tell that because he says, here is my Yahoo ID.
Guys that are always interested in me, the desperate one.
Here is my Yahoo ID. Here is my MSN ID. Here is my email address. Here is my MySpace contact info. And then he signs
it. What is sadder than a guy with Tom as his only friend in MySpace? Yeah.
Well, and so the question is, how does that guy even find you, first of all? Is that just a guy who's browsing everybody on MySpace that falls anywhere within the Pacific Northwest?
See, and that's what I'm wondering, because I cannot be the only woman he is sending this message to.
Maybe it's just sort of a numbers game. You know what I mean?
And I was wondering if, you know, has Sarah experienced this? Have any of your other listeners had this weird kind of thing? I'm sure it happens all the time.
Well, Sarah's, I mean, it's almost a little different, though, because you have... I mean, because you have sort of a presence in Portland.
Because I have, like,
Portland.
My website and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean...
But before that, yeah.
Did you the unsolicited, I happened upon your picture randomly. Will you go out with me?
Not very often, but it has happened, like, once or twice.
See, and I don't
it's a little creepy.
Well, and the weirdest thing to me is, I mean, wouldn't this usually happen to, like, younger, girls who aren't, you know... they're younger, so...
Are you and the guy in the same age range?
He's 46.
Does your MySpace profile list your age?
Yeah, my MySpace profile says 40.
Well,
so,
I mean,
you know he's not going for the youngest.
Well, I mean, you know.
All
right, will you send it to me, please, Kristen?
Yeah, forward, and I'll put it on, if you don't mind, I'll take out his name and I'll put it on my site.
Yeah, I forwarded you his actual MySpace profile.
Oh, really?
I'll send it to you too, Sarah.
Right. Okay, thanks.
All right, yeah. All right, and so, well, I don't know, like maybe 1 o'clock or so, we'll talk about it a little bit.
And I've been going on his MySpace page today, and he still doesn't have any more friends. So, just weird.
What a sad world we live in.
It's
all right.
Weird.
All right, thank you, Chris. We'll talk to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show right here on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Coming up later on, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero, Lisa Goddard, and Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. Stay right there.